GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Congressman Tim Burchett, who co-sponsored the bipartisan Epstein Files Transparency Act, says he agrees with the president's move to try to get the grand jury testimony in the case unsealed. However, he tells ABC's Martha Raddatz,
I think it's a start. I don't think we're ever going to get to the bottom of anything, all of it, ma'am. I mean, look at the Kennedy assassination.
President Trump has filed a $10 billion defamation lawsuit against the Wall Street Journal, Rupert Murdoch, and others over Thursday's report about the president's alleged birthday message that he sent to Jeffrey Epstein in 2003. The Wall Street Journal says it stands by its reporting. President Trump writing on social media of today's milestone. Wow, time flies. Today is the 6-month anniversary of my second term. It's being hailed as one of the most consequential periods of any president. More than 70 people are believed to have been killed in Gaza in the latest chaotic standoffs taking place at aid distribution sites set up in the territory. This is ABC News. During WNBA All-Star Weekend in Indianapolis, the league's biggest stars showed off their talents in a friendly rivalry. Only Caitlin Clark is injured, so she didn't play. But ABC's Christian Cordero says it wasn't all fun and games. The players are now beginning talks on a new contract with the owners.
WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert has called the meetings candid and constructive, thanking all who have made this a very successful weekend. As players enter the thick of collective bargaining negotiations with the league, the players made their mark before tip-off, warming up in shirts that read, pay us what you owe us. Chants erupting post-games of fans echoing, pay them.
The CEO at the center of the Coldplay Jumbotron Kiss Can Capture has stepped down. His company, Astronomer, saying in a statement, Andy Bryan has tendered his resignation and the board of directors has accepted. It is not clear right now what happened with the head of the HR department, who was the woman Boyd had his arms around when the couple was called out by Coldplay in the middle of the concert. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
My perfect day has sand, salt, water, and friends. But my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can take me out of the moment. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, most people saw 90% clearer skin, and many were even 100% plaque-free at 4 months. Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin. And that means everything.
Nothing is everything.
Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. A resident of Eau Claire is speaking out about the impact of cuts to safety net programs, programs like Medicaid and SNAP. Judith Ruiz-Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection reports.
Oliver Wynn and his parents all live with disabilities. He says Medicaid has allowed him to have surgeries that have improved his quality of life to such a degree that he no longer needs a wheelchair. It also helps him pay for medication that would otherwise cost $5,000 a month. Wynn describes the forthcoming federal cuts to Medicaid and SNAP as terrifying.
It's going to change a lot of things for a lot of people, and I'm concerned for myself. I'm concerned for my family, my community. Everyone is going to be affected by this.
It's estimated more than 276,000 people in Wisconsin could lose their Medicaid coverage, and another 90,000 risk losing their SNAP benefits over the next decade. 1 in 8 people in Wisconsin depends on SNAP to help pay for groceries. Wynn is one of them. Although he currently works overnight shifts, he says he still needs SNAP to afford food for him and his child. Before he had Medicaid and SNAP, Wynn says his high medical debts meant he struggled to keep up with food and housing expenses, which led him to become homeless.
Because there's no way to balance trying to feed yourself, trying to pay off this debt, and still have access to health care and rent.
Along with federal cuts, the Trump administration is implementing stricter work requirements for these programs in an effort to curb what it calls welfare dependency. More than 45% of SNAP recipients in Wisconsin are in working families, and the majority of Medicaid recipients in the state are part of the workforce. Wynn says the rhetoric suggesting beneficiaries are lazy and unmotivated isn't based on reality. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny for today, but areas of smoke out there. Light east to northeast winds and highs in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy tonight, still some smoke with lows in the mid and upper 50s. Smoke thinning out Monday. Mostly sunny, once again upper 70s. Currently 71 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome director-producer John Roach at Max Inc. Radio's Rocker joins me in studio for some Atwood Fest chat. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Krebscast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This week, we have a very special guest. Thanasis Antetokounmpo is coming on the show. If you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan, you're in for a real treat. We talk about everything from, you know, what's going on next year with the Bucks to pet peeves, what makes him say cripes. He tries his very first bratwurst after 10 years in Milwaukee. He is trying his very first bratwurst right here on the Cripescast. That's sort of a special add-on that we're going to put to the end of this podcast. So, yeah, it's going to be great. Make sure you guys check it out. He, you should also know he is the host of the Analysis podcast, which is a great podcast. He was nice enough to have me on it about a year ago. Today. So, yeah, it's cool. And I just want to give him a shout out because he fit this into his schedule. He's about to head out to Greece for the summer. And so he just made time to do this. And I had a great time. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. So, ladies and gentlemen, here is my conversation with Thanasis Antetokounmpo. Well, thanks for coming on. I'm surprised you did, you know, because the last time we talked later that afternoon, you might have gotten kind of an injury.
Oh, yeah. No. I don't.
You don't hold that against me?
No. Everything happens for a reason, man. Everything happens for a reason. And I don't hold that against you because you're a great dude, by the way.
Thank you.
And you've always supported like anything I do. So I'm, bro, in a heartbeat.
Okay.
My heart.
So there wasn't any part of you that thought I was bad luck?
No, I actually thought you were good luck because I was like, oh, at least I had this awesome podcast and interview before I got
Wow. Hurt. Okay.
It could be worse. It could always be worse.
Yeah,
it could. Always be worse. Trust me.
How you feel now? You just came back from a workout?
I feel amazing. Knocking wood. I feel great. I just want to, you know, I can't wait for the next season to start. I can't wait for the summer. Come in and just work out and do all the stuff. So.
Yeah, great. You're going back to Greece.
I'm out of here.
Every summer, man. Are you excited?
Yeah, bro. I'll tell you one thing, right? Whenever I go to Greece, it's an amazing thing because for us as a family too, because, you know, it's our family time. But at the same time, we work, right, when it comes to our businesses. And then we work when it comes to the court. And Greece is such a good place in Europe in general because, like, even the Mediterranean cuisine, right, the food and everything, like, you stay in shape. You never get out of shape.
Whoa. Pause right there.
Yeah.
Pause right there. What are you trying to say about Midwest food right now?
I'm not trying to talk about Midwest food. What I'm trying to say is about like how much in general in the U.S. has so much big variety when it comes to food. So it's impossible to avoid anything, right? It's impossible to go like, ah, I'm not going to eat this. And then next in your face, you go like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to eat Five Guys. And then I'm like, oh, then I'm going to eat Chick-fil-A. Oh, no, I'm not going to eat Chick-fil-A, but then I'm going to have, you know, Shake Shack. Oh, I'm not going to have Shake Shack. But like, it's so many things. So it's always being thrown into your face, like, to have a, you know, the cheap meal or, like, the snack. Yeah. Or so, no, it's not about
Midwest. I mean, just to be
fair. I like Midwest. No, it's true.
Okay. And to be very clear, the Midwest has some, we have some of the most unhealthy food the world has ever seen. You know, whether it's deep fried cheese curds, brats. Have you had a brat yet?
No, you told me you was gonna give me barbecue
outside. I got a grill going. So if you want your first brat today.
Oh, yeah.
You will do it?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. I got news for you. That's going to be a cheat meal, though.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Just you know what I want, though?
What's that?
I want the brat, but give me the simplest version of it. Because I feel like
you don't trust me at all, do you?
I trust you, but I don't want to get like the peppers and the
God.
I just want to get the simplest version of it.
Standard brat.
Yes.
Okay. Not even mustard, not even horseradish.
I'll do those.
Okay.
Those I'll do. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get that going for you. I got the grill going just for you. Okay.
Oh.
First brat. I mean, this is like if I were to go to Greece. And yeah. I would have the most Greek cuisine possible. Yeah. What would be the equivalent to the brat in Greece?
Souvlaki.
Souvlaki?
Yes.
Okay. What's that?
It's like, so it's pita. You know what pita is?
Pita
bread.
Yeah.
Right? You put gyros.
Okay.
And gyros could be either chicken, beef, pork. It could be, one of those three.
Yeah.
And it's like a doner, but it's not doner. It's not goat. It's like those three. You put those, you put a little bit of tomato, tzatziki, you put maybe some onions.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to rock. Some potatoes, depends if you want to make it like the full house.
Deal. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that'd be the equivalent of me like adding on the peppers and everything, probably. Yeah. Which you don't need in your life right now. Okay, I got it. Well, I got to do that sometime. I got to come to Greece.
Anytime. I'm going to be there, I'm going to be out there. So you're invited.
Thank you.
Just let me know if you want to, apartment, home, state, well, whatever, just show up.
I appreciate that. I'll just show up.
Just show up.
And hope you answer your phone.
No. Just show up. Okay. We got you.
All right, cool. So what's the best time to be out there? Because, the season's obviously during the winter. You're out there during the summer. Is that the ideal time to go there? Or is it just the time you got?
So this is very interesting that you say. So, Greece, has a... basically has a big, big, big season, right, for the summer. So, it's like 6 months summer in Greece, right, which is big.
It's like our winter.
But the summer is in Greece are very nice. Like, the middle of the summer that it kind of gets really hot. But in between that, after that, it's really, really nice. And it's not like Vegas hot. It's just hot, but really nice.
See, this is a whole conversation, though.
Vegas is really hot.
Vegas is really hot, but it's that dry heat, that desert heat.
Yeah.
So do you like more of that Florida heat, like the humidity added in?
No, I like Greece. Greece is in between those.
Okay, it's in between those.
Not too humid, because you don't want to go out there and feel like you're sweating before you even step
out
the hotel or, your home. But I think Greece is just right.
Perfect. No better place than Greece. Nice. So when you're out there, we got phrases in the Midwest, if we want to say I love you, we say watch out for deer or something. We really make sure people know that. How do you guys say I love you in Greece without actually saying I love you? Do you have a phrase like that?
So how do we say I love you in Greek without saying I love you?
Yeah.
We do have a phrase. Well, I do think we have a phrase. I just can't think about it right now. But our phrase would be equivalent to you guys saying, hey, be careful out there.
Okay.
That's our phrase. Prosia. It doesn't necessarily say I love you, but it says I care.
Yeah.
So we do have that.
Right. And what about love generally? Cause I feel like the reason we say something like watch out for deer, even mm-hmm. Take care of yourself or whatever is because in the Midwest, we not everybody, but I would say a lot of people, we're largely disconnected from that love thing. We don't want to give too much of ourselves, in terms of showing our true emotions. We like to repress emotions.
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling you. Is that the way in Greece or do you guys really feel your emotions there?
No. So the thing about Greek culture, I come from two big cultures, right? So
yeah.
Greek and Nigerian culture, and they're very similar in a lot of things. But I'll tell you, the thing about Greek culture is that they're very open as people. We're one of the few countries in Europe that actually cares about accommodating and speaking English. And because if you go to a lot of countries, you'll be surprised how many of them don't speak English. Or maybe they do speak, but they don't want to engage because they feel like that's...
Yeah.
We are very, very accommodating. And we have this word. It's called philoxenia. So philoxenia is basically hospitality, right? And if you know, I'm a little bit historian and stuff like that, the stuff they teach us in Greece, like in school, you know, it comes from war, and the origin of it is why, you know, everybody says like, oh my God, in Greece is so hospitable and they have great service and everybody's so friendly. Yeah, but it's from the ancient times, because in the ancient times, they used to think that whenever a visitor he was a god in disguise. So you would have to treat him, you know, with love and respect, and, you know, offer him everything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like Zeus, this, that, like, oh, like you would think it was a god in disguise. So from the history, it was always been like very, very big into hospitality, into like showing your, you know, love, and, you know, we're very, very loving people.
That's interesting. Yeah. Like, kind of take care of everyone as if they're like a god.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, no, but in disguise.
In disguise.
Because that's what the history and the mythology, that was the whole thing. You know, Zeus would come in, this god would come in disguise, and he would dress like a beggar, and you would give him like a loaf of bread, welcome him to your home and take care of him, and then he would, you know, give you a little bit of, you know.
I like that. I think we have some of that in the Midwest. Like, we'll bring you in. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll give you like a casserole. We'll ask you if you want a beer. You know, we'll offer to cook you brats. Oh, you guys stay for dinner. You know, that kind of thing. But we're just not going to like open up our
emotions
and emote. You know, so like also like Nigerian culture, Greek culture. Yeah. Which one opens the emotions more? Which one's more like open with the emotions, and which one's more like closed?
I want to say, so think about this, the way I grew up, right? I think more in the Greek culture side of it. I think more Nigerians is just like so, they have different, like the way we were raised. Like, I feel like people who are raised in Nigeria and people come out of Nigeria are like superhumans, man. Yeah. Like it's, like if you come out of Nigeria, you it's not by accident that a lot of Nigerians excel overseas, right? If you need it's sports, from Anthony Joshua, like to the NFL, to doctors, to scientists, like they excel because the way of everything is so, you gotta adapt at every time. And then at the same time, you really gotta be as much as, you know, composed as you can. So I don't think there's a lot of emotion when it comes to
I got you.
That's how I grew up, at least. I don't know. Maybe
you kind of brought that up, like when that dad got into your brother's face a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like I think on your podcast you brought up the story, and your brother brought it up of like when you guys won the title, your mom was kind of like, "Can I come out on the court?" You know. And you brought up how like your dad always, I can't remember if it was you or your brother brought this up, it was the same podcast, but about how like in a room he would kind of like be soft spoken or whatever. And that was kind of the experience of an immigrant in a different country. Is that kind of where that comes from?
Yeah, but that's the old version of that's the last version of Nigerians. Like, I'll give an example. Like, my dad, the way we grew up, you know, because we had such a journey, right? It's such an adventure with my mom and dad. And, you know, they're immigrants. They go to Greece. They create a new life, kids, everything. And it's always been this bubble around us. Like, I was like, hey, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to do anything. It's just always been, you know, very calculated, very, you know, like, tread lightly, you know? And just like, okay. And I remember people, can I tell you the story? So when my dad passed away, aging at the time, at the resting spot, the funeral, where we at, it was just the family and just us, nobody, right? Just us and our agents, which is extended family. Like, we are there with them too long. And the amount of, like, I could see it in their faces of how sad they were crying. How sad they were and everything. You know, I was like, man, you know, my dad was a great man. And then, you know, one of my agents sat me down at the time. He said, you don't understand how great your dad was. He said, having Giannis, having you guys, having one of the best players and families in the world, and your dad never asked for nothing. Never said, like, you got to do this for my son. You got to do this. He has to be here. He has to, nothing. He would say, like, just take care of him. Just make sure they're okay. Nothing, you know? And he said, and I have, this is my player. This is the guy I have. This is the my players, right? And he never asked for nothing. And then I have other guys who are just like, every day, just push this. You know what I'm saying? You know how dads are, right? How mom and dads are. You're their agent and son, and this is what we want. This is what we want to do. My dad never said anything. He never talked about basketball. He never said, I think you should go to this team. I think you should do that. Never. He was always saying, do you like the coach? I was like, yeah. You think he's going to give you an opportunity to just be on the stage? That was his thing. Like, get on the stage. And I remember when I first got with my first agent, he was like, oh man, Finesse, I can do this, I can do that. I was like, no, you don't even tell me anything. Just, can you just get me there? Just get me there and we'll make something happen. Just get us there. So that does comes from my dad.
Yeah.
Because he was like, get your opportunity to get on the stage and stuff like that. But you see, it's something that it's in part of our DNA now. It's part of us now.
So. And everyone can feel that. Like you and your brother, just like the humility that you guys have and the raw talent and everything. I mean, it doesn't go hand in hand by any stretch of the imagination, typically in pro ball, you know, or whatever. Well, really pro anything, you know, if you've got a lot of skill, it's hard to have that 1-2 punch of skill and humility, you know? And speaking of skill, how you feeling physically?
Feeling good, man. I just went through a stretch, tough stretch. I was telling this to, I think I was going to talk with my co-host on my podcast with Tony. I said, like, you know, me being hurt and just kind of got it just influenced by all these things. Like it wasn't the best year. And then I was feeling, you know, like I got to prove myself. I got to do all these things. And then with social media and all these other stuff, I was like, now I got to show them. I got to do this, all these things, and kind of boom it. Like, instead of me saying like, hey, just be me. And everything works its way out. So it's way out. And then now I'm in a great, great, like, stride, move. Like I'm feeling great. I feel great.
Yeah, I mean, that is tough, isn't it? Because I feel like even in this world, sometimes you get into that thing of feeling like I'm only as good as my last video.
Yes.
Or like maybe for you, it's I'm only as good as my last game or something. Do you have that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I'm only as good as my last game, but the coach ain't really give me a chat. Like, it's crazy. Like, you might say I'm good as long as my last video, and your last video was great. You just didn't post it on time. Maybe you didn't post it the right time. Maybe you didn't even post it in the right platform. And it doesn't adjust it, because now you're feeling like, oh, shit, I'm inadequate, or I got to give more and more. It's not a bad feeling. That's the feeling of somebody who would not stop till he gets to where he wants to be. That's not a bad feeling. The bad feeling comes after. If you decide and say, like, you make everything else obsolete, and you go like, no, I don't care about anything else. This is what matters. Like, no. That's not how it works. It's a whole package.
Right.
You're not just about your last video. You know what I'm saying? So
you're saying you take that as sort of the drive, the fuel, the fire.
Mm-hmm.
But you take the fire kind of like leave the ashes or something. Yes. You know, you use it to fuel you, but you're still, you know, you're all these other roles as a human being, like brother, son, all that sort of stuff.
Nobody could. This is the reality, right? Nobody can say the only thing you're good for is because you're a comedian. No, you're not. You're a good, great person, bro. You got a personality. You have all these traits, all these other things, you know? Like, I see people be like, oh, man, I just stay home all day with my kids and I'm just a great dad. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're a great dad, but that's not the only thing you are, bro. You're like, you can literally be so many other things for other people. And I'm not saying that that's not important. It's important to be a great dad. It's important to be a great player. It's important to be all these things. But don't put limits in yourself and go like, oh, yeah, that's the only thing I'm good for.
Right. Right. Because you're doing ball, yes, but mm-hmm. also like the social media stuff. You're an entrepreneur, you know, like how do you keep it all in balance? And like, what do you like the most out of it that like once your career is done, you're like, I want to do this thing. Do you have something like that?
Yeah. So I do have. So when I'm done. So now, hopefully in the next 5-6 years, probably, you know, I'm going to be, what, 39-ish in the next 6-7 years, then 940, I'll probably be done playing. I do want to spend time with the family. And, you know, talk with kind of people, you know, they're trying to kind of get me to get into the front office and space and basketball NBA and stuff like that. We'll see. I do believe I'll crush it for sure. There's no way. I'm very dedicated. I really, you know, and obviously, you know, all this with the NBA front office has to do with connections and who you know and the bringing of the players and how to recruit. I've been doing this behind the scenes my whole life.
Yeah.
So I can see that one part of it. But other than that, I do a lot of business. So I just kind of, I'm loving the brand, the stuff I do with my brand, the podcast. So for now I'm like just doing all these things because I started doing all these things after my ninth year playing professionally, right? Ninth. And now I'm just like, 12 years in, 13 years in. So after my ninth year, I was like, okay, now I got to start kind of cultivating the other stuff too.
Yeah.
Like before that, it was just ball.
Well, isn't it crazy that like, cause I mean, I do stand up, you know, and then you have all these other things. Yeah. Do you like this stuff? Or are you like, I got to do that cause I got to build a brand to like make these other things happen. Like, do you wish you could just play ball?
So no, I don't wish I could just play ball because that is the common mistake everybody does, right? When they start playing, they go two ways, which is wrong both ways. They go like, oh, I got to build my brand before I play basketball. That's wrong. You got to play bad. You got to do your thing first.
Yeah.
Show up in the court and then build your brand. And then they go like, you know what? I'm going to play basketball. And then when I get 40, then I'm start building my brand. That's false. That's both. They're both wrong. What you want to do is that build your ecosystem. What does that mean? Build your relationships, build your alliances, build the businesses that you like, pick three or four or five, whatever it is that you like, I can see myself doing that. And once you do that, they're all connected. They're all connected. Because I'll give you an example now. Let's say we met through the podcast, through comedy, stand-up comedy, etc. And I go like, hey, I'm having this huge event in Greece. Would you like to come be, you know, the first gig, the first show, the first guy? Like, oh, you're like, yeah. We met through podcasting.
Right.
The show.
Yeah.
Give another example. You come to our family office and I go like, hey, we're buying this building or something we're buying, you know, in Greece, Mykonos, in LA, Miami, we're buying this building. Would you want to be involved? You go like, oh yeah, sure. So it's an ecosystem. You cannot stop an ecosystem.
Right.
The thing, what you can stop is a one-way moving train, which is if you just play basketball, you're dedicated to playing basketball. If COVID hits again, which knock on wood, it never hits again, or anything, something like that never hits again.
You got to actually knock on that wood, though. Yeah. Yeah, that would be good.
Thanks. Yeah. You're going to be devastated because what's going to happen is it's going to be like, oh my God, I've been such one-dimensional person and I don't have nothing else. Only thing I know is to chase a basketball, which is not a bad thing, but you should be able to cultivate yourself and say, okay, is that all you are? Is that who you are? Is that what you want to be? Now, you want to be dedicated. Great. Don't get me wrong. But that's all you are?
Yeah. No, I mean, I really enjoy this stuff too, especially like the podcasting, because you do like, you get to talk about stuff you're interested in and you get to network. You get to meet people that you wouldn't all otherwise be able to meet and just have conversation. And that sparks ideas and all that sort of stuff. So it's just fun too. I mean, life is short. Why not have fun with it? You know, exactly. Speaking of fun, do you like this bird?
I love this bird.
Hannah made it. It's a paper mache.
It's a what? Say it again?
It's paper mache, but it's a loon.
Loon.
And the loon, it's the Minnesota state bird, only because Wisconsin, like we have so many loons, like we don't talk about it. You know, Minnesota needs to make it their state bird, though. It's like a huge flex. But this is a cool bird. It's like it's a duck in a tux, if you want to think about it that way.
Duck in a tux. Yeah. I like it. I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it.
What's your favorite bird in Greece? Because I'm like a big birder. So I just, when I go to Greece, I want to know what to look out for.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not a bird person.
You're not a bird guy?
No, but I do like... eagles and stuff like that. Like,
eagles?
Like, hawks, eagles, and like I can see that.
You like that. More of the birds of prey, huh? The predatory ones?
Yeah. No, not only that. I like the way they're so free and so dynamic. Like, first of all, I think that how free they are. I think see everything and just like fly.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they're just, I mean, we call them predators because we see them do that, but they could choose to be anything.
Yeah, they could be pacifists. Yeah. They could be one of those hawks that just goes and eats berries. Yeah. You know, how dare we judge? You know? All right. So bird watching, that's like one of my hobbies outside of all the work stuff. What's one of your hobbies outside of all the work stuff? Like, doesn't have any tie to work. It's just like when no one's looking, what are you doing? And not like that. But when no one's looking, what are you doing?
I'm a big movie guy. I like movies.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm old school. Like, I go to the movies.
Do you?
Yes.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Congressman Tim Burchett, who co-sponsored the bipartisan Epstein Files Transparency Act, says he agrees with the president's move to try to get the grand jury testimony in the case unsealed. However, he tells ABC's Martha Raddatz,
I think it's a start. I don't think we're ever going to get to the bottom of anything, all of it, ma'am. I mean, look at the Kennedy assassination.
President Trump has filed a $10 billion defamation lawsuit against the Wall Street Journal, Rupert Murdoch, and others over Thursday's report about the president's alleged birthday message that he sent to Jeffrey Epstein in 2003. The Wall Street Journal says it stands by its reporting. President Trump writing on social media of today's milestone. Wow, time flies. Today is the six-month anniversary of my second term. It's being hailed as one of the most consequential periods of any president. More than 70 people are believed to have been killed in Gaza in the latest chaotic standoffs taking place at aid distribution sites set up in the territory. This is ABC News.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Another win for the Brewers.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beating the Dodgers again. 8-7 last night in Los Angeles. Milwaukee now with a 9-game winning streak. Now, the Dodgers' Shohei Ohtani hit his 33rd homer of the year. He leads the National League. But the Brewers kept coming back. They're now 5-0 against the defending World Series champions after that 3-game sweep in Milwaukee before the All-Star break. Although Freddy Peralta won his 7th straight start, he wasn't particularly sharp, giving up 4 runs and 5 hits in 5 innings pitched. But the Brewers tacked on some insurance runs to maintain the lead. Right fielder Isaac Collins with a 363-foot homer over the short right field wall in the 4th inning. Caleb Durbin with an RBI double in the 6th. Then Joey Ortiz with a home run to round things out. So again, the final, the Brewers 8-7 over the Dodgers last night. Game 3 of the series wrapping up this afternoon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny for today, but areas of smoke out there. Light east to northeast winds and highs in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy tonight, still some smoke with lows in the mid and upper 50s. Smoke thinning out Monday. Mostly sunny, once again upper 70s. It's 72 at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Looking for food, fun, and live music this summer? Head to Area 509 in Appleton with Caribbean Taste. Every Friday, enjoy a food truck rally from 5 to 8 p.m. with live music from 5:30 to 7:30. Enjoy the Triple S Market. Sip, shop, sing every Sunday from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. With local artisans, open mic, guest food trucks, a full menu of incredible Caribbean Taste food, charcuterie, mimosas, and more. It's all happening at 1025 North Badger Avenue. Come join the fun!
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped 4 seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Janet Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Folks, if you're just tuning in, I'm Charlie Behrens. This is Civic Media, and here's my conversation with the Nasus Antetokounmpo.
What's one of your hobbies outside of all the work stuff? Like, don't have any tie to work. It's just like when no one's looking, what are you doing? And not like that, but when no one's looking, what are you doing?
I'm a big movie guy. I like movies.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm old school. Like, I go to the movies.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah. Which movie theater do you go to?
So
let's blow up your spot a little bit.
No. You can't blow up my spot. I'll tell you why after. You cannot blow up my spot because. But
you can't blow up my spot. I'll tell you why after. That's why I can't blow up your spot, because you're gonna tell me after we're rolling.
No. I can tell you. I go to Brookfield Tavern. I go to AMC. I feel like though they've kept really. The traditional, like, because they went through a phase, yeah. Right? And with Amazon now and everything, but I'll always be that guy.
Yeah.
I don't care if I'm 60, 70, I always believe in the family, the weekend, or alone, you know, or solo. I go solo sometimes, going to the movies.
That's what I was just going to ask. There's only a certain type of person that goes to a movie alone. I'm also that guy.
Really?
Yeah, I like it.
We should go to the movies together, and you just sit over there, I'll just sit over here.
That'd be great. You just tell me the movie, the time and place, we'll go there. We may not even see each other, but we'll both text after.
Yeah, I'll just text you like, hey, are you watching this? Okay, we're watching. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm the creepy guy up in the corner by myself. Are you the other creepy guy in that corner by yourself? Okay, glad we got it.
I do believe that. I just feel like that. When I say hobbies, I like hobbies that involve like just experience and family. Like, I'll give an example. One of the hobbies that everybody keeps telling me to do and I don't do is I don't ski. And I don't ski. And a lot of people, like in Greece, we have like mountains and stuff. And in Europe in general, it's big, right? You snowboard, you ski. I'm the guy who like, I won't do that, but I'll come for the chalet, like I'll come for the, you know, for the
oh, so you're
the cabin.
A, yeah, you're up there for the ambiance.
For the jacuzzi and the stories and the hanging out. I'll come for that.
Okay. You've never skied though, no interest.
Never. Because I mean, obviously with basketball, I mean, it's kind of impossible to quote unquote ski. Nobody says no, but you don't want to do extreme sports while you're
not when you can make a lot of money doing. Why would you pay $200 to go blow out your knee or something get paid good money to blow out your knee or something, you know? I was never very good at skiing. I've done it, but I'm not good at it.
Did you like it?
I like it, yeah. And I go once in a while, but I never grew up skiing.
Okay.
But I grew up rollerblading. I had a pair of rollerblades because I was pretty cool. As a kid.
Do they have a roller ability? Do they have a
roller rink?
Yeah.
Yeah. They skate land. They probably have one somewhere. I haven't gone in a bit. But
which one was the it was a movie I watched.
Here we go.
Was it?
It's about roller derby?
No. Oh.
Was it?
Might have been.
Okay.
Might have been roller derby. It's crazy. I was watching. I was like, oh my God, this is dope. Is this a real sport? And I was like, nah, no way. It's a real sport. But
yeah, the derbies, dude, they get intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever roller skated or rollerbladed?
Maybe younger, but I was skate, not a roller blade. Skate skateboard. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, on a skateboard.
I was a big fan. Like when I was younger.
Yeah.
I used to break dance. It was real. Like I used to break dance. Used to parkour. You know what parkour is?
Yeah. You did parkour.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Dude, what's some crazy stuff? Can you do like a flip without a trampoline?
Now I'm 6'7". Now, probably could.
Wow.
I haven't done it in a minute, but I probably could. So parkour.
You want to try right here?
No, I'm not going to try right here.
Had to ask.
But I would do like, you know, obstacle jump, quick. Like, so there's a, so in Greece we had this sprint.
Yeah.
So we used to call this, it was after the school and we would like sprint.
Yeah.
And what is it? So you go through obstacles, but you got to run. Full speed. You can't like just jogging and jump.
Do oh,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
you,
yeah.
like, jump, the thing catch, where you jump, jump over. Catch, everything. And, like, I was big into that.
This is a parkour course.
Yeah.
Is what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I was, but not a legit one. We just made it.
Okay.
It was made up by us. I did that.
That's, like, extreme. That's, like, BMXing without the bike.
Yeah, I had a BMX bike.
Really?
Yes.
Like with the pegs and everything and yes, the grind? Yes,
that's how I built my, like, that's how I started jumping high. So,
really?
So true story. When I was younger, I had a BMX bike and I used to ride it around. I used to have my brother. There's a scene in the movie that my brother's holding my shoulders. He's
oh,
on
yeah.
the peg, like he's holding my shoulders. And I used to ride all Athens like this, go to practice everywhere. Like this with the BMX bike. You know, BMX bikes are a little bit smaller. They're not the mountain bikes or the smaller. And I used to ride that all the time and my backpack. And then all of a sudden, one summer, true story, I couldn't touch the rim. I could not touch the rim. And then one summer, I did that. Came September, two hands, one hand behind the back, like everything. I was like, what happened? And they were just telling me like, hey, you just really build your muscles through the bike. Through,
oh,
like,
really?
Riding the bike and your quads, yeah.
Wow, so BMX.
I got taller just a little bit, but yeah.
Right, but it was more about the quad strength.
Yeah.
And you got that by just biking around them.
Just biking around and with my brother.
What was your best BMX trick?
I think just, you know, just lifting the steer and just pushing.
Oh.
But that's it. That was it. And then just jumping over obstacles. That was it. I didn't really have no.
Okay.
I'm not, you know, I wasn't a professional like esports or jump. Like it was just that.
Yeah. Yeah, you chose to, like, as soon as you could dunk, you were like, all right, I'm going to focus on this. Probably better. I feel like the injuries on BMX are, you know, shorter now careers
I was,
for
I was,
that.
This was close to basketball. I was 14, 15. I was like 14. 15.
Oh.
And it was, if you think about it, too, it was, I loved it. You know why? Because, like, somebody gave us that bike, right? Because BMX bikes are very expensive.
Yeah.
And he just gave us that bike and was running around. And I will never forget this. This is the reason why I want to come to the story. And I was with my brother and we were like, you know, outside, you know, kind of working. You know, we used to sell stuff in the streets and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I was working. And I left my bike and I went back and my bike was gone.
Damn. That's brutal.
Sick in my stomach. I couldn't sleep for like 2-3 days, man. Bro, my bike was gone and I thought about it. I was like, I was so pissed. I was like, oh, when I see this kid, and I always thought he was a kid. I don't know. Maybe it was an adult. Who knows? But I was like, when I see this kid, now looking back to it, I was like, oh, it happens. Oh. You know, those other stories that you see in the movies, it's like, oh, they stole my bike.
Yeah. I feel for you. I feel for little you. I can see little you pissed off.
Pissed off.
Did you cry?
What does that mean?
Did you cry or you get pissed?
I had the pissed off tears.
Okay. No,
I had the pissed off tears. I was like,
yeah.
But me and my brother was like, man. And we looked out the block, over the block to find it. Couldn't find it.
Damn. Sorry, dude.
That's right.
Have you bought one since?
You want to hear the story?
Yeah.
This past summer.
Yeah.
I went online and found the exact same bike, exact same wheels for the photo shoot. And I bought it and I sent a photo to the group chat. And I told Giannis, I found our bike. You should have seen his eyes lit up. It's like, what? Where'd you find that? Same bike, exactly. Like, you know, it was an old school 1992, like a specific, like,
yeah.
Same bike, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Found it. I'll send you a photo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you remember what kind it was? Do you think there's any chance this was the exact same bike? Do you think?
For sale.
Yeah.
Somebody, no.
It was in Wisconsin you found it or in Greece?
In Greece.
Okay.
Greece.
Could have been the exact same bike, dude. You never know. Was there anything different about it?
I think there's no way the wheels are so well kept since then. So definitely the wheels a little bit, but you couldn't tell the difference.
Okay. Yeah, let me see that thing. I used to be a bike mechanic, so I'm kind of a bike nerd, you know, or as some people call it, a bike fixer. That's not a real mechanic. Thanks, Dad.
Wow, I'm trying to look for photos. I can't find them.
Yeah, you know, like, your phone's always great about, like, saying, hey, remember
this one? Oh, sick.
Is it?
Nice. So you got it, and then you guys, do you ride around it? Was Giannis on the back with you again?
No, we're too tall now.
You're not too tall. You can figure it out.
Yeah, we're too tall now, but...
You guys should do, like, a how it started, how it's going picture, you know?
Yeah. I you know when I want to do that?
What?
people, you know, people, I feel like sometimes people are too fast to do it. They go like, they do it too fast. I want to do that like 85.
85. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Like, I want to be, you know, kids around, family, everybody. How it's going, like, just us, me as kids, and then boom.
Yeah.
35 people in the picture. Like, how it's going now.
You're playing the long game here. Yeah. I like it. I like it. All right, cool. So, you know, I think everyone, you know, kind of wants to know, what city are you thinking of living in next year?
So what is the question? You want to ask me if Jan is leaving or anything like this?
You know, no, I wasn't going to be rude.
You can be legit.
All right. What's Giannis doing next year? What are you doing next year?
It would be very, very, very bad of me and very, very unfair to answer for another person.
That would be.
That's one.
Yeah.
Second of all is that we get asked that every other day.
Bro. Well, that's why I didn't ask you.
It doesn't make any difference. You could ask me anything, bro. Everybody asks us that, from people in the street to ESPN to in the court, before the court, after, like, it doesn't matter.
I'm not everyone else. Dude.
Yeah, but you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
you forced this out of me, you know? You basically were begging me to ask. And I was asking about you. I didn't even ask about you.
No. But what I would say is that I truly believe, like, the team, you know, like, they're trying to figure something out and trying to figure out what to do and stuff like that. Now, well, the other thing I would tell you too is that you got to think about this. Like, the team has been in a row for a minute, and they're going through a rough patch, and you know, with the, like, not it, it, it it's not a, and people confuse some couple of stuff. They go like, they talk about the first round exits, right? They go like, oh, first round, and, you know, we lost first round, and we've been hurt. So the first round exit don't really matter because you've been hurt. It's more or less of the regular season, though. Like, you want to be better in the regular season. You want to create good habits, right?
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, there's no, like, I cannot, you know, there's nothing, man. I think, like, they're going to talk. Hopefully they get him to, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully they do whatever, you know, they do their best and get him to stay, whatever. Or, you know, I haven't been involved in this conversation because I haven't been here.
Yeah.
Last year. I was, you know, it's hurt. So I haven't really been team, because if I was, I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to talk about this, but, you know, I get stuff done. So I don't, like, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, yeah, let's talk about this or let's talk about that. But what I would say is that the team has always done the best. Giannis has always, and I don't know if I'm cursing this, but he's always been this amazing, effing unbelievable, bro, person for the team, for the city, for everybody. Right. And I say this, I am biased a little bit because he's my brother, but I do say this because I see the impact.
Mm-hmm.
I see that all day. So it's crazy to just even think about that. But, you know, at the end of the day, business is business. And, you know, I'm not saying business is business with Giannis. We saw that with, you know, Drew left, you know, Chris got traded, and, you know, and we've been with a couple of guys. Like, I've been with the team like almost a decade, like over half a decade plus. So yeah. I see this and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You know, you just always hope it's not the last rodeo, but shoot, it's not up to me. It's not up to me.
Right.
It's up to them. It's up to them. So it's not something I can control.
I mean, and, you know, a big part of your role is like, you know, what you hear in interviews and everything, what people say is like how great you are, like, in the locker room too. And, like, how much leadership you have and how much your brother, like, loves having you there and, like, looks to you, you know? Like, do you think...
I think this can be a misconception, right? And I really believe this. I think the other people love me, having me more. Like, they, I think the other people love having me more than my brother. this is not even a joke. I really believe this. Like, I really believe, like, people around, like, was like, yo, you need to be here. And I say this all the time, but I'm grateful, I'm blessed, I'm happy, man, just to be involved in this community, be involved with the team, and, you know, and we won a championship, bro. I cannot make this up, you know. And I've felt this feeling as a brother, being proud of my brother winning a championship with Kostas. I've had this feeling winning with my brother a championship and winning myself a championship. So it's like, it's a different mentality, vibe, and I understand that, you know, we strive and work hard to do it again and again and again, as many times as we can, because we don't have all this opportunity.
No.
You know what I mean? If you're a coach or if you're a GM, You can be a GM or a coach CEO at 65 to 70 if you want to, right? But as a player, you don't get a lot of chances in the postseason run,
right?
And in the run towards the championship. So, you know, I'm grateful for what we've done so far.
Yeah. And do you feel like you'd always want to be on the same team together?
Me and him?
Yeah.
It's crazy. You know, we always play together, apart from 3 years. Yeah. We always play together, which is insane to say, but we've always played together in the same team. And we played together from since I was 15. Then when I was 18 to 21, or 20, no, 22, 4 years apart. He played with the Bucks, and then I came in 2019, I mean, the Bucks till now. Like, it's been fun, man. I love it. And oh, and I don't want to say it's been fun. Like, that sounds a little bit, but I've enjoyed it every last minute of it. So I definitely could see me doing that. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is the crazy part. I've had offers and said no because of, like, saying, like, we have something special. And we did. We won, right? And now you just got to figure out the next chapter.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
How do we, you know,
what is that?
How do you do it again? How do you, you know, build the team, stuff like that? But I've always considered myself, like, I'm not regardless of the outcome ever, right? Regardless of what happens, I'm always, like, I'm a Milwaukee Bucks fan.
Yeah.
Right? I'm always been like, whenever I'm rooting for Wisconsin, like, I'm rooting for Green Bay, I'm rooting for the Brewers. That's who I am as a person too.
Yeah.
And the same thing, even for like people who always gave me opportunity and embraces me, like, that's how we are as a family. And we do that. And I understand, you know, at the end of the day, business is business. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise, because if they tell you otherwise, they're lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But at the end of the day, that's what I want to hold dear. I want to hold dear the memories, experience, and stuff we've done so far, and hopefully we create more.
Yeah.
We create more of those.
Absolutely. Well, I got to say, whatever happens, Milwaukee loves both of you guys.
I don't doubt that. Like, they're like the proud family. It's just crazy. It's a crazy statement to say, and you don't see that often, but they're like this proud, big, proud family of a guy who came in and watched them grow, watched them play basketball, watched them, like, develop and win games for the team. Watch them become a dad. Watch him become a husband. Like, it's crazy. They watch this kid grow in front of their eyes, man.
Yeah.
And become this guy. Okay, now it's my turn. Like, I got to lead this team and be this leader, right?
Yeah.
Over all these phases. So I don't want to get emotional or something like that, but I'm very grateful, you know, because everything happens for a reason. I'm very religious, so I believe in God, and I think God puts everybody together for a reason, eh?
Yeah.
You know, and God says, this is what's supposed to happen. This is what's supposed to happen, and keep going. You know, I don't never doubt his intentions. Never.
Yeah. Never. No, absolutely. What religion are you Christian? So,
yeah.
Catholic?
I was in Greece, it's Orthodox.
Orthodox. So you guys got a different pope then? No, same pope.
Yeah.
Same pope, different pew. How does it work? Who runs the Greek Orthodox Church?
I'm not going to lie to you. I'll always say this. Did you get the message? We all got the message.
We all got the message.
Exactly. I don't look to faces to get a message from God. I don't tie, you know what I'm saying? I don't tie a specific person to get this feeling, this divine feeling, this feeling of gratitude and blessing, and how can I give it to others, right? I don't say, like, oh, look what he said. Look what he said. That's how I got to follow my life. This is what I got to do. No. I'm like, I learned through the Bible. I learned through the stories. I understand what it all means. Because if you ever read the Bible, right?
Oh, yeah.
You will see, in any culture, in any religion, you will see that all these stories have a meaning.
Yes.
How you can take the stories out, it's open to your own interpretation, but all of these stories have a meaning. And what do you keep from them? How do you learn from those things? What is the modern version of it?
Yeah.
What is the modern version of it? So, yeah.
No, I mean, I like it. And I also think the Bible says so many things, and you can pick anything to, like, be your guiding spirit or whatever. So it's almost like the Bible says pretty much everything if you want to find the words.
Yes.
And it's like what you take from the Bible says more about you as a person than what the Bible is saying in a lot of ways, I think. But no, I like that a lot. No, I was just bringing up the Pope because I was like, you know, dude's from Chicago. He could be a Bulls fan, man.
He's from Chicago?
He's from Chicago.
This is so now I got a question.
Yeah.
What do you know what's the percentage of like I'm assuming this is like is this a new thing? Is this the first time?
First American pulp. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was about to ask like predecessors and stuff like that.
Yeah, first one, dude.
You excited?
What's that?
You're excited?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's a Midwesterner. That's great. I mean, he's from Chicago. That's not great, but
Why's that great?
Well, because I mean, we're talking the Chicago Bears, dude. And that hits deep with me in a way that I can't, you know, quite comprehend. I mean, we all know God's a Packers fan, so that's fine. But if you're going to lead this church and you're a Bears fan, you're going to have to reconcile with that. And I hope this Pope knows that. And I think he does. I mean, he's been watching football for probably his whole life. He knows that most of his, you know, life, if he truly is a Bears fan, has been despair. And he's probably prayed so much for the Bears to do good. And they just haven't because they suck terribly, except for 1 year because, you know, everyone needs a pass. But anyways, I'm getting ahead of my shoes here. I'm sure he's a good guy. But Greek Orthodox, I don't even know. Do you guys, is the Pope part of that deal or not?
I forget.
You don't know. I don't know.
Like I was, you know, baptized and everything. You know, I have a. I'll tell you one thing too. What I noticed too is that I'm very like, you know, I go Sunday, I go to church. But here in church, you know, I either go to Greek church or I go to, you know, Catholic church. It doesn't. I don't have a.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't have a like. Oh yeah, this is what I do. Like I'm not. How do you say it? Is this or nothing? Like I just want to go to church and feel like I'm in the presence of people who are looking for the same thing.
Yeah,
because that's what all church is. If you think about it, too, like it's a lot of people who really want, believe in something and believe in. However, it doesn't matter the religion, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You could just always believe in the creator of things, in the creator, and that you know you're appealing to this person to like really. Show you the way or how you want to live your life or enforce you, or maybe you're living the life the right way and force that even more. Instill that to yourself, to your kids, to anybody, just instill that thing.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at all the religions, you know, pretty much saying the same thing.
Yes.
In a lot of ways.
Yes.
It's kind of like that great poet Macklemore once said, whatever God you believe in, we come from the same one, you know?
From the same one.
Yeah. And not also a, thrift shop. Macko. It's popping. You ever heard Macklemore?
Oh, he's talking. He's talking about that.
Yeah, this is a 10-year-old reference I'm slinging out here, so don't worry about it. Don't even worry. We got this question here on the Cripes Cast that we ask every guest that comes on,
yeah.
And it's what makes you say Cripes? Okay, and Cripes.
What is Cripes?
Well, I'll explain it to you. It's like you know, like something happens and you're like, ah, oh, Cripes, you know. You could say like cripes. So the first way I said that is kind of like a pet peeve, you know, like, ah, cripes. And it originates from Midwesterners not wanting to take God's name in vain, Jesus Christ, right? So they switch it up. They say cripes. I tell you what.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I see it now.
So what's like a pet peeve of yours? What makes you say cripes? What grinds your gears? What annoys you?
So, okay. In general, I'm a very easy person. And I do have a pet peeve. I do have two of them. So why not? I won't say.
Okay.
I won't say that.
Okay.
But I'm going to say this. I'm going to say the second one. So one of my pet peeves is.
All right, folks, that's all we have for now. But if you want to listen to my full conversation with the Nassus, check out the Cripes Cast anywhere you get your podcasts.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down, just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin, the Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No. Got to keep her moving.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time after a massage, a chiropractor appointment, and some sleep. We'll be back with regular programming from Madison on Monday. Join us then.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
I know you don't want to hear it, but it's almost time to go back to school. Sorry. It's Amanda with another new Wesco 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And there's a school supply drive to support Outagamie County Back to School program at Funset Boulevard on Friday, July 25th, starting at 12 p.m. If you donate 5 items, you'll receive a fun card for unlimited access to the playground, laser tag, bumper cars, train, carousel, and so much more. If you want to see a full list of events, check it out by going to WGBW.FM and clicking events.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Evacuation efforts are underway in Indonesia after a ferry carrying hundreds of people caught fire, killing at least five. More than 280 were rescued, and evacuations are ongoing. In Gaza, at least 70 Palestinians were killed as they tried to get aid from distribution centers. Syrian forces continue working in the southern city of Soweto to try to contain recent violence. ABC's Patrick Reeval is at the foreign desk.
Today, the government does seem to be reasserting some order. Arab tribal fighters have reportedly left Soweto, and people on the ground have told us today things are largely calm. But all this underlines how fragile Syria still is 8 months since the end of Assad, and the real risk that it could slide back into chaos.
The cries continue for President Trump to release more information on the case surrounding sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Trump filing a $10 billion lawsuit against the Wall Street Journal over its coverage of Trump's relationship with Epstein. This is ABC News. One person